My name is Diane DiRigo. I'm from Nuclear Information and Resource Service, based in Washington, D.C. area. And I have a background in chemistry and environmental studies and have been working on the nuclear issue for nuclear waste issue since the late 70s. My topic today is recycling of nuclear waste. And there are several different understandings of what that means. One is mixed oxide fuel, which we heard earlier today is actually, we call it POX, plutonium, POX on MOX, plutonium, mixed oxide fuel. It's taking the plutonium from the weapons and taking it out and then formulating it into fuel for reactors. This is something that our organization has been fighting for years, and we continue to fight it. We understand that in Russia, the plans for this are not proceeding, and that has been our big excuse and reason that we in the U.S. are supposed to proceed, but even though Russia has stopped, we are still proceeding at the Savannah River site in South Carolina. And so the United States is pushing for MOX, and we are working to prevent it. But that's not the recycling I was talking about. Another connotation for recycling, another connotation is the reprocessing of irradiated nuclear fuel, which is, of course, from the core of nuclear power and weapons reactors. And the it's actually where I got my start, was at the only commercial nuclear reprocessing that took place in the United States at West Valley, New York, south of Buffalo. It operated for 6 years, only reprocessed 1 year's worth of fuel, very high worker exposures, fires, and irradiated fuel from the nuclear reactors, recycling that. It's been called recycling, even though the fuel that was reprocessed was never used in the U.S. to make more fuel for reactors. The 6 years it operated, the very small amount of irradiated fuel that was reprocessed has left a mess that will cost from $5 to $8 billion U.S. dollars to clean up, and it's in an area that's destined to erode into the Great Lakes and contaminate that resource if it's not exhumed. So a big fight we have is on that. In addition to, was just mentioned, our Global Nuclear Energy Partnership program to get new reprocessing started in the United States, and there are 11 different sites around the country that have been targeted, and companies have come in to get money brought to them, tax money, to give them incentives to propose centralizing the irradiated fuel from the nuclear reactors around the country, and then possibly reprocessing it. There are 11 sites. They're not going to pick 11. We're not going to let them get away with any of them. But that's the plan in the U.S. now, is to say that we're going to do reprocessing, that it's recycling, that it's environmentally sound, when in fact it's just another ploy by the nuclear industry to get the fuel moved off the site so they have room in their fuel pools and their dry casks to make more waste. And we are fighting that centralization of the fuel, and we're fighting the creation of it in the first place. But the thing that I'm mainly, oh, and then I wanted to also say that Yucca Mountain, which is our proposed high-level nuclear dump, is continuing to have more technical problems. There were, in the past year, it was revealed that there were fraudulent geological information that was sent by email regarding the integrity of the site, and those emails seem to begin shortly after a large number of our organizations pushed for a disqualification, a technical disqualification of Yucca Mountain from consideration for a high-level dump. We showed that it didn't meet any of the criteria, many of the criteria, and then all of a sudden information was coming out that it met the criteria, and now it turns out that that information was fraudulent, and so the it's going to cost $25 billion. It's going to cost a lot of money to redo the research that they were doing that was determined fraudulent. They've just found out that the corrosion that's going to take place at the site, they have to put caps on top of the irradiated fuel that's stored at Yucca Mountain if it were to be put there, to prevent the very corrosive water from getting down and wrecking the containers. So in order to have enough credit to say that it will store the waste, research is being done to claim that the corrosivity, the corrosiveness of the water will be dealt with. Well, it turns out that the calibration information on that has all been incorrect, and all of that research has to be redone. So there are many technical problems that continue to plague the site, and so the nuclear utilities are ever more wanting to centralize their waste somewhere, and so if they could do it through the Global Nuclear Energy Partnership under the illusion of recycling, but just something to get it out of their hair and get it off of their liability, they would go with that. But the main thing that I was wanting to share, because I'm here in Sweden and the Baltic, has to do with the other waste, not the irradiated fuel, but the rest of the reactor and the components and throughout the fuel chain. We mentioned the enrichment of the uranium, the nickel that's used to do the enrichment from, to extract out the uranium-235. There's secret nickel components. A lot of this material is very valuable, but it's radioactively contaminated. And so the government has been wanting to say that they're cleaning it up and they're going to recycle it into the marketplace. And it's something that the EU dealt with a little bit in 1990s, and then in 2000, May of 2000, all of the EU members were to have adopted basic safety standards. It's exemption concentrations that would allow radioactively contaminated metal, concrete, soil, asphalt, wood, plastic, anything from dismantling or operation of the nuclear reactors. They could say it's clean enough and it could be sold into commerce instead of being isolated as waste. And that way, the decommissioning is much more economic, and it's a way to make it cheaper and make some money off of cleanup instead of having to pay. So the two places, I know of a few places in the world that are built to take radioactive metal and process it and then release it into the marketplace. In Studsvik, which is here in Nykoping, they are one. They're taking the decommissioned German nuclear reactors and other reactors in Europe and bringing the contaminated metal here to Sweden and processing it and releasing it through its partners into the open metal market. And then Ecomet S is over in St. Petersburg on the other side of the sea doing the same thing, taking the radioactive metal from the Russian reactors, processing that and releasing it into the open metal market. Normally, metal does not have very much radioactivity. The natural background of metal is lower than the average natural background. In the United States, there's been a big push to also do this recycling of radioactive metal, especially as the decommissioning comes up for the nuclear reactors and for the weapons complex. However, we have, through organizing together with the metal industry, the unions, the workers at the metal facilities, the nuclear workers, and the public, and state and local governments, we have been blocking and fighting the release of the radioactive metal. It's unfortunate that we do not have as strong of allies in all of the other recycling industries, the plastics and the concrete and the soil and chemicals and asphalt and all of these other materials that come from nuclear facilities that are contaminated could very possibly be getting out into the marketplace. But the metal industry, at least in the United States, was working together, and in the UK also there is a zero tolerance by the metal industry association on accepting radioactive metal into the marketplace. So in the year 2000, the Department of Energy in the U.S. said we won't recycle any potentially radioactive metal. And that was a big victory for that time. Of course, they're trying to get around it. Now the push is we'll have restricted recycling. We'll only use it in certain situations. We'll use the radioactive metal because there are enormous amounts of it. And how we shift the question from the enormous amounts that we have to deal with to do we want to make more enormous amounts and ignore the costs and the fact that we have destroyed all of these natural resources and made them unusable if we care about radiation. We need to prevent that and have that be part of our argument against any new nuclear activities, because whatever the activities are, they're going to be generating more radioactive waste that we cannot pretend are not radioactive. So it's been a struggle. Our nuclear power industry theoretically could be doing this in the U.S., and I've not really been able to track it because our metal industries put up detectors at all of their portals, and they're trying to keep the radioactive materials out. So I'm here today to hope that maybe I can work together with the people in the Baltics to try to prevent or stop the existing radioactive metal that's being recycled here and prevent any more from happening in other places around the world. That would be the thing that I would be liking to develop some contacts and ideas with. And I would also point out that there have been more recent studies and indications about the health effects of low doses of radiation, and we are also working to publicize that information to remind people that even very small amounts are harmful. And that, I think, when they say environmentalists will support new nuclear power, they don't understand that radiation is a very serious carcinogen and a very serious poison, and that radioactivity is not an acceptable alternative for any of the greenhouse gases, and we don't know the synergistic effects of all that. So I will stop now. I think if we're going to have workshops, I'll get to work a little more on this, and thank you for inviting me.